well for the rest of my life. But the devotees kept on urging me, no, no, it's transcendental. It's liquid love of God. You know how our devotees preach. I wrestled for 1 week intensely with my doubts. But then I thought, let me try. When you are in Rome, do as the Romans. Drink water from the Ganga. And I still live. performing an act of faith really helps you. In other words, don't just think everything will come to you on the intellectual approach. Many things come by acts of faith. Or when you serve, for instance, when you, some people have difficulties to even imagine themselves taking books and offering them to non-devotees on the street, do it in faith that Krishna will protect you and it will work. I remember our Shrishtikata was doing one, maybe it was the first marathon, not able to distribute even one book at the railway station in Basel. But the eco, that everyone does it, it must work with me, I'm not so special. I had faith in Krishna, and then he became a very nice book distributor. Acts of faith are very powerful, because with them, you give the control over into Krishna's hands. Just do a spiritual act. Krishna will help you. Hari Bol! Another act of faith, or faith builder, is to visit the holy dham in Vrindavan or Sridhar Mayapur. You will see how your heart becomes instilled with deep appreciations for Krishna. Wonders will happen to those who stay at the holy dham. It is described by Srila Prabhupada, to stay at the holy dham will give one the impetus to go back home, back to Godhead. Staying at the holy dham will give you faith in Krishna's personal experience, because he is worshipped there, and the spiritual energy is roaming freely to bless you. By this deeply spiritual environment of the holy dham, you will get, you will become very Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna. This is about philosophical doubts. Do you have any questions to this?
One of your faith builders was associating with people that are convinced themselves.
Yes.
And what happens to that faith when those convinced people fall down?
One of your faith builder was, I will repeat this for the tape hearing posterity, to associate with those who are convinced. What happens if they fall down? I will now say something so revolutionary you will not believe your ears. I think for every one of us, it is very important in spiritual life to become a little self-reliant. When we can take inspirations from people, people means devotees who are inspired, we must do so. However, when these devotees go through their dark night of faith and become momentarily covered, we should no longer be dependent on them. See, a person who becomes overly dependent on outside influences will not make it in life. It's just, do you know these people in England, when the weather is nice, they smile. And when the weather gets gloomy, is gloomy a word in English? You know, like, you must learn to produce your own weather. That is, to carry your own inspirations and convictions into every situation. But if you become overly dependent, you will remain a helpless person. My favorite Krishna Leela, no, Prabhupada Leela, is this. Once Prabhupada went on a morning walk through a park, and in his usual way, said, "What a wonderful park, we can use it for Krishna." "Yes," said the devotees. "And here is a wonderful building. How nice it would be if we would use it as a temple for Krishna." "Yes, Prabhupada." And he went on and on, and finally he said, "And here is a dog. We can use it so nicely in Krishna's service." "Yes, Prabhupada." Prabhupada stopped. His face became very serious, and he said, "How will you ever use a dog? It's a city. He will suffer and you will suffer. How will you ever use a dog?" And then he said, "When will you ever learn to think? You need to become a little bit self-reliant. Someone who was previously convinced now is no longer convinced in the same way. It means he is passing through the sunshine period of his spiritual life, he's going through the dark night. Should we also become gloomy? No, we have our own spiritual path to walk. And we do have rocks in the waves of change. We have Srila Prabhupada, we have so many exalted Vaishnavas who withstand the waves of change. Now, we can make it, we can finish the seminar. It is, I think Krishna does something with the time, stretches it or he stopped my wristwatch. we have quarter past, right? So now I will go to a very difficult obstacle. An awesome obstacle. It's called the obstacles created by the mind. By our own mind. The mind, now comes a little spiritual psychology, can go on two tracks. One is called para, or transcendental, and the other is called avara, or material. If you go back to the old picture, this would be the material listic mind, which would go this direction of name, fame, and glory, the same old story, desiring these things and material attachment. And this would be Krishna, 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 the Krishna direction. Now, para and avara, our minds can go both of these ways, unfortunately. And it happens for young beginners in Krishna consciousness that their minds go up and down, and up and down, and up and down, and they change very often their directions. So, see my notes here. When the mind goes, in an unfavorable direction for us, and our mind becomes again attracted to material life. We should know of a very effective spiritual way how to deal with it. First of all, let us not become overly impressed and shocked if our mind sometimes produces pictures of the past and we become restless in our spiritual lives. Srila Prabhupada writes, our thoughts are always changing. That is the nature of the mind. So you cannot expect that even the great saintly persons are free from thoughts coming and going. But after thinking a thought, there's feeling and willing. Willing being the stage of putting the thoughts into action. To make this a little bit clearer, I want to draw a picture. Our thoughts usually go through three gates. One is called thinking. We think of something. For instance, pizza. Then comes feeling. We feel for it. How nice it would be. Finally a little culture, Italian influence, in the cuisine. Be so nice. It's called feeling. And then comes willing. I want to have it. And we endeavor in certain ways by bribing the cook planning how to cut lockers to obtain our desire. So when a thought is here in the thinking gate, you can still deal with it by your intelligence, by saying, well, is this a good thought or is it a unfavorable thought? Once it leaves this gate and comes in the feeling, pizza, your emotions are attached to it. And then comes the willing state, I must get this preparation. Then it's very difficult. So Prabhupada continues. So if we are able to employ our intelligence, then we kill the thoughts before they become manifest in activity. But because we are not so much inclined to enjoy something intelligently, we have to therefore daily sharpen our intelligence by reading and discussing and preaching to others. Do you understand Prabhupada's way of dealing with the mind? When it gets into some material thoughts, you apply your intelligence before it gets too fast, too far, and your thoughts become attached with deep emotions. For instance, you may walk over the street and see a member of the opposite gender and become why this example, this is so uncultured, no uncultured person here in the barn will do so. Let us remain with a very harmless example, the pizza. You determine, oh, it is really not the time. I'm really full, and it's only my taste buds which force me to do something. So then you think, you use your intelligence. Come on, Krishna Das or Krishna Devi Dasi or John or Sylvia. Come on, take courage. You will only have a burden. It's only for 1 second to eat this preparation. The tongue will have it, and then you have to digest heavenly work severely on it. So why engage it? So this is how to deal with this. The mind can be positively trained by filling it up with Krishna conscious thoughts. Srila Prabhupada said that the mind is like a cup, a container of thoughts. Now, in a material environment, the mind will always fill with material things, like in an inky environment, the glass will come full with ink, like in the morning dew. The dew fills the glass. So what to do? Simple. You fill the glass with milk. Then no ink has any place in room any longer. If you want to have a satisfied, fulfilled spiritual life, even while going through a material atmosphere, fill the mind with Krishna. By reading, by chanting, then the mind will not be filled with nonsense or materialistic thoughts, which are not very helpful to you. Now, when the mind has crazy ideas, there are two ways to deal with this. One is ignore. But you can't live a life by just neglecting the mind all the time. It would be a torture. Always to say, no, 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 no. The other way is to deal with the mind which gets attached to materialistic things. You should put it, engage it in the orders of the Lord, the orders of the Guru, and so on. This is how you deal with the mind. Attach it to spiritual instructions. Give your mind spiritual instructions, and then you can go very nicely about with it. One way is ignoring, the other is to follow spiritual instruction. Who has ever fasted? Many of you. Have you noticed if there is a very nice secret in fasting? In the evening before you fast, you say, tomorrow we will fast. It's Jamashtami. Or every Ekadasi, you put this affirmation in the evening. Oh, tomorrow I will not eat any grains, not even laddus. If laddus happen to be your favorite. So you place in what is called in modern language an affirmation, or in normal language a decision in your mind before you go into a situation. This is what, for instance, I have done very much. I'm personally more of a shy person, although when I'm sitting and talking before people, you can't, it's not so obvious. And I learned something very nicely in when we preached to before big people. Have you ever stepped on a stage and you had 35,000 people before you? It can be scary if you are a shy person. Now you have to say something and you have to move the crowd that everyone is appreciative. And I remembered how I would, you know, develop sweat before these, you know, I would constantly have to change my shirts because I became so utterly nervous. It is described in America once. There was a questionnaire: what is the one thing you're dreading the most? And it was not death, what was in the first place, or not separation from a beloved, but what made it on the first place was to speak in public. most people are very afraid of this for some reason or other. So the way I personally dealt with it is I read one day this purport of Srila Prabhupada, how he says you can overcome lusty desires by making a determined decision. And he gave the example of a person who wants to fast on Ekadasi and who one evening before makes a determination, I will fast, no problem. So I began to experiment with this before walking, when I was dying behind the curtains and the crowd was going wanting to see the devotees. And then I just imagined myself, Sachinandan Swami, the people like you. They want to have a good program. They want that this program is nectarian. Just, and they are, you know, they're spirit souls. We are one family member. No problem. And I, after some time, I walked on this, on the stage without thinking there's any difference to an empty living room. Just very naturally, I walked in thinking, oh, these are my friends, you know, they're spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. They want to have a good program. After all, they paid an entrance fee, and so on. And I began to loosen up and behave totally normal. This is what you should do if you want to control your mind. Put in spiritual messages. put in spiritual messages and spiritual informations, and it will help you even over difficult times. Hare Krishna. Do you have any questions regarding the mind? Please.
Judgmentalism.
Yes. In other words, when you think a thought, how would you, can you make it clearer? How for to offer it to Krishna, say, Krishna, this is for you, or how would you do that?
Well, with pizza.
Yeah. Offer the pizza for to Krishna.
If the desire came in for a pizza.
Yeah.
And the thought came in, a pizza, I would like a pizza.
Yeah.
Then immediately offer it to Krishna.
Yeah.
Krishna, I would like a pizza. And it's by your will, so that I get a pizza.
Then I get it, yeah.
But if it's going to be just spaghetti again this evening, never mind, that's what I deserve.
I want to thank you very, very much for what you said. It's a very good contribution. Yes, we all, that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that we can link up with Krishna in yoga and offer things which we are desirous of in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I feel tempted to end my seminar in the sense of bringing my last point. It will only take very short time, but I feel it's very important. Many times in my obstacle seminar, I was hinting at the possibility to overcome, let me say, material desires which bind us to the material world and to and keep us from experiencing the joys of a spiritual life by just chanting the holy name, because that purifies our mind. But what if there are obstacles in chanting Hare Krishna or reading about Krishna? See, when sometimes a patient is in a state where he cannot swallow the medicine because he can't digest it. Some of you who have gone to an Ayurvedic treatment, they have maybe gotten a handful of pill which they have to swallow in the morning, in the noontime, and in the midday time. And sometimes these, you know, when you are so weak, you can't even digest the pills. So then it's very problematic, because a patient who cannot take to the medicine, that's not so good for his recuperation. In the same way, it sometimes happens in our spiritual life that we experience no taste in chanting the holy name and reading about Krishna. Am I correct? What to do at such a time? Yes. What to do at such a time? Now, the scriptures tell us that originally we do have a taste in Krishna. And if we continue to engage in the spiritual practice, that taste will come out again. The example has been given that someone who is a jaundice patient tastes sugar to be bitter, like neem tree leaves. So bitter. But the medicine against his jaundice, it's a traditional medicine, is to eat a lot of sugar. And finally, after some time, somehow the sugar penetrates through the resistance. I do not know how it works, but you feel the taste the sugar to be sweet. Sweet sugar again. Then you know you're unhealthy. It has worked. I remember once having jaundice, and the devotees brought one bag, big bag of sugar after the other, until finally I could hear in my blood, you know, the from all the sugar. And then after, it took 3 days of this intense treatment until I was taken care of. We will soon stop. It is no reason to cry. There is an instruction in the Nectar of Instruction which talks about this, that by taking the sugar sweet talk about Krishna, you will develop a taste in it. Oh, Haribol, Haribol! The holy... What has happened? The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by jaundice, of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. In other words, keep on taking the medicine of listening to the holy name, and soon the jaundice of ignorance will go. Now for this, I want to take you through a simple workshop, and this will end my presentation. First of all, when we chant the holy name, there is one obstacle: we feel sleepy. So if you want to gain a deeper understanding of chanting, and in this way overcome the obstacles of having no taste, your chanting starts actually in the evening before the day. Go early to bed. Sometimes it helps to also just go to bed like real early, 6 o'clock, and just drink maybe hot milk with a little banana, it puts even an elephant to sleep. Then just sleep so that you are fully awake. Not that you look like our Vane, who is has the traces of tiredness on your face, isn't it? Yeah, this is natural on a summer camp. The summer camp is such an illusioning name, isn't it? The summer camp is such an illusioning name, isn't it? It's so intense. It's not like a holiday. So go to bed early. It's a very simple thing. Then, the next step when you chant, when you want to make a chanting reform, often the pronunciation is poor. After having taken care of the sleepiness in the body, take care of your lazy pronunciation. quotation from Srila Prabhupada's book. And I think the logic is convincing. If you want to hear a sound vibration, you first have to make it. It has to first be there. So be articulate. Now, then also, if you want to reform your chanting so that you can develop some taste and have a joyful chanting, you should sometimes also check whether or not your chanting is correct. We need for one round a certain amount of time. I don't know what is your time. Mine is 7 minutes. Sometimes I find myself when looking on the clock that I have finished a round in 4 minutes. Now, this could have two reasons. One is that my japa mala has mysteriously become smaller with less numbers of beads on it. Or the second reason is that maybe I have just gone Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like a finger exercise. So when you chant the holy name, it's sometimes on the mala, it sometimes helps to stop yourself. A stop means to time yourself. What is it? Stopwatch yourself. You can stopwatch yourself to see that you have not done any blunders in the mechanics of your counting process. So that really you chant the required amounts of names. So we have done now a few physical exercises. We have watched that we are not sleepy. We have watched that our lips and tongue move. We have also watched the time. And now we are ready for the yoga practice. When we chant, we should scrupulously try to bring our mind back from wherever it wanders due to its restless nature. I have a friend in Krishna consciousness who tells me that he chants with this attitude. He knows that Krishna could reveal himself in each holy name. So he thinks in every name Krishna could be there. He is almost like a person who knows, who has gotten 10 letters, and he knows in one letter there is a 1,000 D-mark note. So he opens every letter to find out, is it here? Is it here? Is it here? With great attention. So in the same way, you can move from mantra to mantra knowing that Krishna could reveal himself if you just follow three simple rules. Listen, listen, listen to the mantra. Because the Lord is a sound is in the form of his sound vibration, he's there. And then you should try to stop the plan-making faculty of the mind. Do you know what many devotees do? When they chant, they have so many mental images of things to do. They just write them, commit them to the paper. Why should your mind be burdened with them? Let the paper keep it. It's free. He does a service free of cost. And in this way, there are many tips to increase, overcome the obstacles in hearing and chanting, but I'm limited by the time factor here, and do not want to be known as a seminar breaker, or time breaker. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you very, very much. I'm sorry that I was going so fast through this, but you know, when the heart is so full, you somehow just want to give all your jewels to the audience. Thank you very much, and I wish all of you a very nice summer camp. I want you to, I wish you also that you can come and chant and dance with great joy before the most merciful Lord of the universe, Lord Jagannath, tomorrow, when we go in the procession through the city of London. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Go.
Hare Krishna, please, just like.